us. And these are times to take off work. These are times to just have times to give thanks to the Lord for all he's done in your life, your family, the church, and in our country. These are times to just think about and thank God for the wonderful gift of wrapping himself in human flesh to give us the awesome gift of eternal life. But unfortunately, what causes you to not have a close communication with the Lord Jesus during this holiday season? You know, a lot of times it's the holiday problems and pressures and distractions that it becomes so great and large that it squeezes out your communication with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you get into being at a distance. You feel at a distance from the Lord. And you feel like your tank is empty and you're running on empty. And you're exhausted and you're running on fumes. And instead of being peaceful and joyful, you feel very distant from the Lord. Today we're having a church Thanksgiving dinner and a Joash Chess Sunday. And we enter into the annual Christmas season, and we celebrate all of these things, and especially our Lord's coming. But every Thanksgiving and Christmas season, I like to preach from this text, and I'm led to give it to you today. So please look with me at Luke chapter 10, looking at verses 38 through 42, as we're having our SRBC Thanksgiving dinner and Joash Chest. And the name of the message is how you can have a closer communication with Christ this holiday season. Look with me at verse 38 of Luke chapter 10. I'll read it. You follow. It says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." Now, when I went to Israel, I saw the Mount of Olives, and I went up on the Mount of Olives, and just beyond the Mount of Olives, as you're heading toward the east, is a little village called Bethany. And there in that city lived a brother named Lazarus, a sister named Martha, and a sister named Mary. And all of these guys, these siblings, they had a house together, and they loved the Lord, and the Lord loved them, and they always had time for the Lord, and they always put him into their house and made time for him. And this was no unusual occasion. The Lord felt very welcome there. And you know what? There are some people, and perhaps there's somebody here today, this holiday season. You know, it said Jesus, when he came the first time to be born, he was in his mother's belly, and it says there was no room for them in the inn in Bethlehem. I went there to Bethlehem, and I saw just where he was born, and there was no room, and he had to go in a stable, and he had to go outside of the house and outside of the hotel area, and he went out there, and he was born where the animals are, in the stable. That was God, our Christmas gift. That's where he was born. And you know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is knocking at the door of your heart, and he wants to come in. It says in the book of Revelation, chapter number 3, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And what's that door? It's the door of your heart. "And if any man hear my voice," he said, "and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." You know, the Lord Jesus is a gentleman. He will not force himself on you. He will not push the door down and throw you down and say, "You're mine, I'm yours." No, he doesn't do that. He speaks to you through the still small voice of the Word of God, and he is saying to you that you have a God-shaped vacuum in your heart. Food won't fill it. Money won't fill it. Even family and friends won't fill it. Social internet won't do it. The only one that can fill that is God himself. And make no mistake, Jesus is God in the flesh. He is the Word of God. And he knocks at the door of your heart. And he says, if you'll open the door and admit, "Yes, I'm a sinner. I'm empty and dead in my spirit. I know that I'm going to be cast out at the end. And I am in need of a Savior." Well, he lets you know his great love today. You see, the hand that knocks on that door, do you know it has a big hole in it? He has a hole in the other hand, a hole in his side. If he were to pull up his garment, he had a big hole in his side. He has holes in his feet. And that's where he died, to pay for the sins of the world, so that we could be, if you may be dirty and spotted, you could be Snow White. You could be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. If you will admit you're a sinner and on your way to hell and just say, Lord, save me, trust him. He will come into your heart. He'll cleanse you. And then you'll have room for him. That must have happened to Martha. That must have happened to Mary. That must have happened to Lazarus, because they had room for Jesus and they wanted Jesus in their lives during that time. You know, I had a friend of mine named Gary when I was growing up, and Gary was very driven by sin. He was a young man, and he was driven by sin, and I'll be honest with you, he was not into drugs, he was not into alcohol so much, he was into fornication or sexual immorality. And it wasn't satisfying him, but he was so caught up with it, that's all he could think about. And he really wasn't a close friend of mine, because he was into a lifestyle, just caught up into that. And he was a slave of it. And he never had time for the Lord. And then one day, Gary was invited to go to a church. He was in this service, and he was in a place called Okinawa in Japan, where he went to church, and he had a girlfriend, of course, and he wanted to do bad with this girl, but this girl said, no, you come to my church. And he came to her church, and while the pastor was preaching, he was talking about, you need Jesus in your heart. And Gary had never thought about that fact, that he wasn't saved, that he was going to die and go to hell. He just always had fun going on, and he just pushed that out of his mind. But now he was really feeling bad. And the pastor gave the invitation. He said, if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, open the door of your heart and invite him to come in and wash away your sin and come forward. And Gary went out the back door. And his girl that invited him went out the back door, and she said, what's wrong? And he said, don't you ever do this to me again. He was angry that this preacher was preaching the way he was. And he was under conviction, and he did not like it. And so he walked out, and that was the end of the date. Thank God for the girl. And anyway, Gary, the next day, was on the cliff that overlooked the Pacific Ocean, and it was a typhoon coming in. And he was playing chicken with the waves that were coming up over the cliff, signaling a typhoon. And he was a wild person, and he was playing chicken, and he had his army gear on, his combat boots, and all of a sudden a wave came way up over and took him and threw him in the ocean. And while he was in the ocean, he was going down and up and down and tossed around like a ball. And he was just thrown all over. And he tried to grab on the coral rocks that were below the surface. And they were ripping his hands and shredding his hands, the coral rocks. And he said to me, as he told me, he said what he went through was something called phantasmagoria. Anybody ever heard of phantasmagoria? That's when your whole life seems to go before you. And he remembered all the times he had turned away Jesus Christ, all the times he'd sinned against the Lord. And he remembered how he just had said no when the preacher was preaching to accepting Jesus as his personal Savior by faith. And he realized that he was a fool, that he rejected that. And just then, he had a peace come over him that says, I've taken care of your sin, and he was saved by Jesus. The next moment, instead of waking up in heaven, certainly not waking up in hell now that he deserved, he woke up on a coral rock. He was bloody. All his clothes had been ripped off him. He had his combat boots ripped off. And there he was, alive on that rock. I remember him after he went to Vietnam and then came home. I remember him. He had a Pontiac Firebird, and he would take me out in that, and we would talk about Jesus. He cranked the heat up to about 90 in the weather because he was so used to the hot climate in the service. But then he started going downtown Grand Rapids, and he would go to all the places where he met girls and did bad things and tell them about Jesus and how Jesus saved him. And my friend Gary is now in heaven. Thank God for him. But I am here to testify to you that you need a time and a place in your life where you realize you've been shutting Jesus out. And you've known about him, but you need to open the door of your heart. And he said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He's the only one. He is God in the flesh that died and rose again. He's the only one that can wash away your sin. He's the only one that can satisfy the deepest need of your heart. And that, during this holiday season, if you want to have a closer communication with Christ, first of all, some of you need to receive him as your Savior by faith. Listen up. This is what he's offering you. And you can do that by receiving Christ as your personal Savior. Martha did that. Mary did that. Lazarus did that. I think of my youth pastor right here, this guy right here. I remember it was a big day. What big day was it?
Carnival Sunday.
He was here on a Carnival Sunday. How many years ago?
18.
How many?
18.
18 years ago on a Carnival Sunday. Greg Slobodnik picked him up on a bus, brought him here, took him home and told him about Jesus. He always thought he was going to heaven because, he was in a Christian home. He had his dad teach him the Bible, take him to church and all that. But he realized he didn't have Jesus in his heart. He didn't have Jesus in his heart. He just had him in his head. The Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Listen, he got Jesus as his personal Savior. And he's now born again. I believe during this holiday season that the Lord is knocking at the door of your heart, but you need to open the door and say, Lord, I invite you in. I accept you as my personal Savior. And then when you do that, you need to confess him with your mouth. Come and let others know, yes, I have accepted him. I do have room for him. I did that when I was 17. I don't know how old you are, but perhaps you're here today and you need to do that. Maybe you've done it already. You need to put on the uniform and get baptized and come. How you can have a closer communion, receive Christ as your personal Savior. But secondly, by receiving what you need from Christ so that you can give it back out. Look what it says in verse 39 of Luke. It says, Luke chapter 10, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. See, it says in verse 38, Martha received Jesus into her house. That means she'd also received him into her heart. So Martha was born again. But she had a sister called Mary, which also, it says, sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. See, this is more than just inviting Jesus in your heart. Do you have his word inside of you? Do you have Jesus at the center of your life? That's what Mary did. She sat down right in front of Jesus and heard what he had to say. And her eyes were fixed on the Lord. Her ears were open to what the Lord had to say to her. I mean, this was the most important thing, is that she wanted to get that in her life, what Jesus had to say to her. You know, the first pastor of this church was named Charlie Ware. He's an African-American. He and I worked together, and he was the first pastor of this church. And he used to say, when he was a young Christian, he said, hey, the Lord Jesus and I are having a two-way communication, and there's no room for a third party to get in between us. Charlie Ware had that close communication with the Lord. I remember when I was in Bible college, they had a lot of smart men there teaching in college and professors, and they would teach theology and so forth. But Charlie Ware, every day he had his King James Bible open. He had underlining in his King James Bible. He was just drinking in the Word of God, and he just had such a personal relationship with the Lord. He made me jealous. I said, I wish I had that kind of close relationship. Well, that's why the Lord put Mary of Bethany in here, the sister of Martha, because Martha was saved, but Mary of Bethany, she had the Lord close to her, and she was close to the Lord. You know, sometimes people during the holidays, they say to me, Pastor, I can't do this anymore. I'm tired. I'm worn out. I'm burned out. I'm talking about born-again Christians. I'm talking about people going to heaven. I'm talking about people serving the Lord, but they're running on empty. Their tank is empty, and they feel like they're not going to make it. How many have heard of Charlie Kirk? Yeah, he just was assassinated, right? Charlie Kirk had one day in seven where he would turn off his cell phone. One day in seven where he would just spend time with his family, his wife, and shut everything else out, and with God. And that was his Sabbath day. And that's important that you have a day like that, where you can recharge, retake in the Word of God. If you don't do that, you know what you're going to be? You're going to be like what happened in Scranton back in the 1970s. They had something called mine subsidence. And what that means is, under Scranton are all these big coal veins of coal, and they would mine anthracite coal and sell it for a lot of money. But they got greedy. Instead of leaving big columns of coal to hold up the city, they ate into those columns to get more money. And then later on, when they stopped mining, it didn't have enough coal to hold up the city, and it would just cap collapse. I remember a guy was doing some digging, and his wife came to him for lunch. And when she came to give him his lunch, he was digging right by where I used to live on Providence Road. He was gone. He caved in. His big steam shovel went down 300 feet into the ground, and they never reopened the pit. He was dead, buried. It was over. You know, there are some believers like that. They're going and going and going and giving out and giving out and giving out, but they're not putting anything inside here in their spirit. And they collapse. And they quit. And they just walk away. Sometimes it's a preacher. Sometimes it's a deacon. Sometimes it's a bus captain. Sometimes it's a Sunday school teacher. And what I tell people, do you have a weekly day off? Sometimes people say to me, well, Pastor, I am just too busy to get to church. I'm working Sunday morning. I'm working. I can't come out. And I say to them what D.L. Moody said, if you're too busy to take in God's word, you're too busy. There needs to be a day off. And perhaps that's a Sunday. For me, it would have to be a Monday. For him, it's a Friday. Everybody needs a day off so that you can recharge. And I believe that's the lesson here of Mary. Mary is saying that we need that time to take in from the Lord what the Lord wants to say to us. Our deacon, Joe Slobodnik, there he is. He flies. He flies a plane. I notice before he goes up in the air, he checks his gauges. And you know what gauge he always checks? His gas gauge. He wants to make sure, because if he runs out of gas and he's flying, guess what? There's no pit stop. He becomes a glider, and he's going to go right down and crash, right? And that's what Mary is telling you during this holiday season. Not only do you need to have Christ as your personal Savior, but you need to receive from the Lord every day what He has for you, and every week what He has for you for that week. And that was Mary's choice, and she decided to do that. It's the holidays. Maybe, Mom, you can just help him out. Help Matt out. Take him. Take him. Take him out. He'll be all right. Yeah, go with him, Mom. Help him out. I think Tom, he's got pretty good lungs himself. Wow. All right. Where were we? I'll take you back. Jesus said this. He said in Revelation 2:4, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Is it possible that you're saved and you love Jesus, but he's not number one in your life? Is it possible that you've allowed someone or something to become more important than the Lord in your life? He said to that church, he said, now listen up. He said, I have all this for you. You're patient. You work hard. You've done this for me. But you don't love me anymore. You've left that love for me. Or you love me, but you don't love me first place like you did. And you know, I believe that's where Martha was. She had him in her house. She wanted to impress him, but Mary, she sat there and said, Lord, you've got something for me, and I want to hear what you have for me. You know, some people get so caught up on the holidays, on all the things they're doing, they forget. We Thanksgiving is to thank God for all his blessings. We're going to have a Thanksgiving little time after dinner. They forget Christmas is to celebrate Jesus Christ and the greatest gift that was ever given. And perhaps you've accepted the Lord, but Jesus is not your first love, and that you're guilty of leaving your first love. I remember our first pastor, he rebuked me one time. I was a young preacher, you know, preparing for the ministry. And he said, Bloom, he said, you deal with a problem, but he said, when you deal with a problem, to solve the problem, you break communication with a person. And you break communication with the Lord and maybe with the person that you're having the problem with. And so, see, it's a personal relationship with God. You're in personal relationship with God the Father. You have a personal Holy Spirit within you, and he can get sad and grieved, the Holy Spirit. And if he's sad and grieved, he's going to make you feel empty and sad. And then you have a Savior, you know, Jesus, and you're sinning against love when you neglect him, because he's jealous, right? Jesus is jealous. He's a jealous Savior. He's a jealous God, and he should be. He wants your heart. He wants your affection. He just doesn't want rote obedience, you know, just do this. No, he wants you to do it from the heart. And so Mary, she was like that. She was in love with the Lord. You know, if I leave the house in a rush to go to do my job, whatever it is, my wife is back in the house. And if I go out in a rush and I neglect to show my wife affection, that hurts her. That hurts her. She wants me to show her affection. See, it's not she gives me her love so I can give her money to go shopping or this or that, although it doesn't hurt. But it's more than that. And that's the way it should be for the Lord in your life. And some of you, you need to do what Jesus said. He said, if you've left your first love, you need to remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. See, some people just come to church at Christmas, amen? Some people just come to church at Easter or Thanksgiving. But the Lord wants us to treat church as a family and be in the family and have something that you can contribute. But you can't contribute if you're not getting fresh from the Lord things he wants to give you because you're walking close to him. That's why the Bible says that we need to take in from the Lord and then give out. And you just heard this the other day with that church you went up to, the wordless sermon. Brother Heil's wordless sermon. Here's the wordless sermon. You hear the wordless sermon, Bobby? I'll do it again for you. He's yawning. See, you can't give out if you're not taking in. If you just give out, you know what a heart attack is. Unless that heart gets the blood in it, when it pumps it back out to the body, it's just going to be pumping. And then it'll die. That's what you will do spiritually. Not totally dead because a saved person can't die and go to hell, thank God. But you're just pumping and you're running dry. And it's not good. And I have been here a few years. I couldn't do it unless I take in from Jesus. And that's why it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but faith with worketh by love. And, you know, I had a guy in college called Wendell Kempton, and he always had something fresh that he gave us from the Lord. And he would say, you need to have some sit-down sessions with the Savior. That's the way he taught. Just have some sit-down sessions with the Savior. And you know what? Some of you need to do what Mary did. Martha was in the kitchen working hard, not having time to sit down and listen. But Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, receiving what he had. Some of you ladies need that ladies' Sunday school and need what Sunday school gives you and what church gives you. And you that are teaching, boy, you need to sit down with your Bible and meet with the Lord. And you need to have a day, a Sabbath day, where you can really focus on that. And the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's not something I produce. Love for God, love for his word, love for his work. The Holy Spirit produces that. And he makes Jesus real inside of your heart. And that's what he wants today. He wants you to have that in your life. Now, let's check out Mary of Bethany. How did that work out with her? Did she have that in her heart, Brother Matt? Yes, she did. We see her later on, and she's taking a flask made of alabaster, and in the flask is some very expensive perfume, and she breaks it and pours it out on the feet of Jesus. Do you know that was worth about $50,000? Do you know the disciples were upset at her for doing that, especially Judas? But the Lord said, leave her alone. She's showing love for me. He said, the poor you have with you, but me you only have a short time with you. Could it be that during this vacation, this holiday season, that you need to take in and to receive from Christ so that you can give it out? I'd like to say one more thing and then I'll be done. You can have a closer communication with Christ by receiving what Christ counsels you to correct in your life. I want you to notice that here in verse 39 and 40, what it says. It says, and she had a sister called Mary. But then in verse 40, it says, but Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. I'd like to have a Thanksgiving service after dinner, and I would like to look at the correction that you may need in your life that Jesus gave so that you can really get this straight in your life. But at this time, I'd like to ask that we bow for prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed. And first of all, it says that